God revealed. Matthew 3:13-17 is our text this morning. It's the first Sunday after Epiphany, as I mentioned earlier. Jesus, in this theme, the season of Epiphany, we think about Jesus being revealed to the world. And we learn about Him. We learn about God. We meet them. We meet Him in this season. The childhood part of Jesus' life is over. We looked at, we saw that a little bit the last few weeks during the season of Christmas. We sometimes see that time in Jesus' life. It's over now for our text. And Matthew tells us about Jesus growing up in Nazareth. He doesn't tell us much more. Luke tells a little bit more about just an episode that happened as Jesus was growing up. But as soon as Matthew is done telling us about Jesus growing up in Nazareth, the next one thing we have, he's an adult. And we're being introduced to him again as an adult. Before that, we're introduced to John. John the Baptist, we know him as. Preaching in the wilderness. Calling people to repentance. Calling people to confess their sins. Repent of those sins. To be baptized. To be washed. And the outward washing being symbolic of a washing that's happening to the heart. As he's doing this at the Jordan River, some of the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, come to see at least what's going on, this religious event that's happening. They need to find out about it. Maybe some of them were interested in it. Whatever the case, we are told that John talks to them and says, repent. Repent. And live like it. Live like you're repentant. Don't just do something outwardly, but live like it. And as he's doing this, he promises of one who will come after him, who will follow him, that is more powerful than he is. Someone greater than John. And he says, this one who follows him will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He will judge those who are unrepentant. And so he's giving people time. Repent. Many people were there being baptized. Many people coming out from all over the area, all over Judea and all over those areas, coming out to John to be baptized. This was a huge movement going on. And then we have Jesus appearing on the scene. And that's where our text gets to this morning. Matthew 3:13-17 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Matthew 3:13-17, reading in Jesus' name. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us this morning. We thank you for these actions of John and of Jesus, and what they tell us about Jesus and his role in our life and who he is. And I ask that you would guide us as we consider these words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up. All right, maybe have a couple more. Come on up. A few more stragglers. Looking for a spot? There are spots, don't worry. All right. Coming up still? All right. Hey guys, have you ever had the chance to meet somebody really important or really special?
Yeah.
You've been able to do that? Have you? Have somebody in mind you want to tell us about or no? You have met somebody?
Oh.
Okay, so you joined the, they led in the Pledge of Allegiance, the principal of school and stuff, so that's an important person. What if, let's take that as an example here, okay, you have the principal of the school. What if you were talking to your friend, and then they introduced somebody new to you, and it was just like another friend, and you were talking to them, and then all of a sudden you realized the person that they introduced you to, you didn't recognize them before, but all of a sudden you realized that's the principal of the school. Would that change how you're, would you be a little nervous then if it changed who it was?
Like they're very, like there's this kid who is like very famous.
Mm-hmm. So a kid that's very famous.
And they met someone and they just realized that he's actually very famous.
Uh-huh. Did they react a little bit differently once they knew that it wasn't just some, just some other person around, but somebody that was famous? They got a little bit scared? Yeah, it might change how you look at someone and how you react if you understand and realize this is a famous, important person, right? Is God famous and important? Yeah? Yeah, he is. I don't know if that was excitement about the question or something else, but yeah, he is. He is. Could it be... Would it be very nice to meet God? What do you think? Do you think it would be nice?
Yeah.
I think so. Do you think it could be a little bit scary? What do you guys think? Could it be a little bit scary to meet God?
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. Especially if we learn more about who he is. Well, guess what? Who is Jesus?
God.
Jesus is God, right? And people got to meet him. And sometimes they might have been a little bit scared about it. But also... it was very good to meet him. And so we get to learn a little bit about him. That's what we do here at church. And we get to hear a little bit from his life and how people got to meet him and who he is. So I have today, we heard about Jesus being baptized. So that's in our picture today. Let's see, would you like to hand some of those out? You can. There you go. All right, let's see. Here we go. I'll give you a few. I'll give you a few. And let's see, one more over here. Could you hand these out? You guys can hand them out together. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming up. You guys can go back. You might want to grab your cars up here. Or are those there for later? Oh, those are yours. Okay. All right. Yeah, meeting the principal. That's a scary thing to do sometimes. You might not want to do that. Well. Oh, are you giving me those back? Oh, you just want to. Okay, all right. So, okay. Anybody else? No? Nobody else? All right. Well, somebody else, there's a story of somebody else meeting, encountering somebody important and being very scared. Trumpkin the Dwarf. I don't know if any of you have read the Chronicles of Narnia, but Trumpkin the Dwarf was... not a believer in anything supernatural, in any mystical stories of lions. And in the stories of Narnia, if you've read them, you know that Aslan, the main character, the main good character, is really a representative of Jesus. There are a lot of correlations with Jesus, and so that's the type of character that he is. And he's a lion. He's a lion. And Trumpkin the Dwarf does not believe in the stories of lions and talking lions and this good lion. He doesn't believe at all. He believes in taking care of his own, of doing his business, just doing that. And that's what, doing good, but that's all that he believes in. And as he is traveling with the four Pevensey kids, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, who know Aslan, who have seen him, they're telling him about him, and he's doubtful. And as they're traveling along, all of them have been doubting to some extent, but they come across Aslan, and Lucy, who's the more apt to kind of believe in Aslan and trust in him, sees Aslan first. He's been traveling with them, actually. He's been nearby. And he's trying to guide them. And she sees him. And then gradually, as the others follow where he's leading, as Lucy is directing them in that way, the others begin to see a shadow first. And then they see him eventually. And they are overjoyed. And Trumpkin, who does not really believe, is the last one to see him. And as he does, Aslan comes over and in a loud voice greets him. and then grabs him in his mouth and throws him up in the air and catches him in his paws. And you might imagine what Trumpkin is feeling in that moment as he meets this lion that he did not believe in, that he stated, "I do not believe he exists." And he meets him face to face. And the children know, they know Aslan, they know that Aslan loves Trumpkin. He's being kind to him, even as he's being scary. They know it, and he learns it. But what an encounter. There's a mixture of excitement and being scared that comes with that, with meeting Aslan. If we think about it, we might find that those same things are true when we think about meeting God. I think sometimes, you know, we don't see God face to face, and so it's easy to not be keep in mind the things, some of the things that are true about Him, about how great and magnificent and powerful and awesome and fearsome in some ways He really is. We think of a lot of the good characteristics of Him, of love and caring and compassion, and those are all true. As we think about God being revealed to us, would we be excited about coming to God face to face? Would we be a little nervous about coming to God face to face? We need to consider, and we want to consider, how do we respond? And especially, how has God revealed Himself? How do we encounter Him? How do we encounter the one true, perfect God? As we come across Jesus beginning His ministry here, we have John baptizing people, baptizing with a baptism of repentance, of repenting of sins, sinful, rebellious people recognizing their condition of being alienated from God and needing reconciliation. And Jesus comes along here in the story, and Matthew just says he came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. You know, he came to be baptized. He came up. It's not like he, you know, John's there baptizing at the river and Jesus comes along and he's like, "Hey, John, how's it going? Oh, you're baptizing people. I think I'll just hang out a bit here and just let's chat as you're baptizing these people. How's it going? You know, I'm the Son of God it's good to see all these people repenting and coming here. What a wonderful day this is, and what wonderful ministry you've got going right here." That's not what Jesus did. It's what He could have done, maybe something like that, observing the people. Jesus did not need a baptism of repentance. He did not need it. The others did. Jesus didn't. But instead of just coming to hang out and see and welcome all the people that were being baptized, Jesus came there with a purpose to be baptized. Even though He didn't need it, even though He was not sinful, was not rebellious, and did not need reconciliation with God. But this is how Jesus begins His ministry, in this event, coming to be baptized. But John knows something about Jesus. How much does he know about Jesus? How much does he know of who He is? Well, he knows something about Him, for sure. Does he know that He's actually God? Maybe. But he knows something about Jesus being greater than Himself. He knows that He has a purpose of really leading into Jesus' ministry. And so, as Jesus comes to be baptized, John knows that if anybody in this scenario needs to be baptized, it's John, not Jesus. He knows that. He's been called for the ministry that he's doing. It's not like he's perfect and the people he's baptizing are sinful. He knows he's sinful also, but at being called into that ministry. He knows that he would need to be baptized by Jesus if it's the person who is sinful that needs to be baptized. And so in his humility then, John tries to deter Jesus. And we might consider, how ready are we to respond in humility as we think about who God is and God revealing Himself to us? Or do we expect from God based on who he reveals himself to be? Love and compassion. Do we just expect things from him? If God provides, do we act like we deserve it? Or do we respond in humility, thanking him for his graciousness to us? Do we come to him in repentance? Or do we come to him with arrogance, expecting good things from him? Because, yeah, we're pretty good people after all. I mean, I think most of you are. Well, any of the ones of you that I've interacted with, I think, are good people. Do we expect things from him because of who we are? But God deserves our humility. And he reveals himself more so to those who are repentant. We get to learn more about him as we are more humble and more repentant, recognizing who he is. Those who are arrogant are like these religious leaders that came to John to be baptized, and we find out, continuing through Jesus' ministry, those who are arrogant and think more highly of themselves don't really find him. Jesus tells them plainly, in many cases, who he is, and they don't see it. They don't receive it. So John recognizes that Jesus is greater than himself. John recognizes that. He knows some of the situation that is going on here, but Jesus knows more. And so even as John recognizes who he is and who Jesus is and that he needs baptism, Jesus says, let it be so now. It's not that John is wrong about who Jesus is and who really needs the baptism if we're talking about repentance. It's not that John is wrong about that. John knows what's right. He knows that Jesus doesn't need baptism. He knows that he needs baptism. But the action of Jesus being baptized is more than that. It's different than those others who were coming to John to be baptized. The others are coming in repentance for themselves and for their hearts to be cleansed. But even though Jesus doesn't need that, he doesn't need the baptism for anything for himself, but he said it is proper. He doesn't need it, but it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. As Jesus begins his ministry, his purpose is revealed. As he is revealed, as people get to know him, what he's here on earth for begins to be known. The baptism is not needed for him. He doesn't need to do it in any way. But it is proper for him to do it as he serves us in fulfilling righteousness. The people that were coming to John to be baptized are coming in repentance, with seeking forgiveness of sins. Jesus doesn't need repentance. He doesn't need forgiveness of sins. But he associates himself with us through his baptism. He associates himself with those who do need repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, maybe we can picture, you know, what exactly is going on in this situation. Well, I think the spiritual aspect here would be hard to nail down exactly what is happening. We don't know that for sure. But maybe we can see, in a sense, Jesus taking on our sins on himself. We know that he does that at the cross. And whether he's taking them on in some way right here at his baptism or not, or if it's a little more symbolic than that, as people are coming confessing their sins, we do know that he would later take those sins to the cross. So maybe he's not formally taking on the guilt of their sins there in his baptism, but he is certainly associating with them. Perfect God becoming human and saying, I will be next to, with, involved with, associated with, part of these humans. I will mix with them. I will mix with all of their sinful baggage, all of their rebellion, all of their trouble. I will mix with that and be associated with that. And the way that he does that is through being baptized with repentant sinners who are receiving forgiveness. And as we heard in our epistle reading this morning, we find that as we are baptized, we are being associated with him. with his death, with his resurrection, and with the new life and forgiveness of sins that he has won for us. Jesus is revealed as one who serves others. God is revealed to us through Jesus as one who serves others. And in confirming all of this, first of all, that Jesus does not need repentance, but that then he is one who serves, confirming all of this, we have a revelation. We have God revealed as Trinity, the triune God, revealed to us through this. After Jesus was baptized, as he went up out of the water, the heavens were opened. I really would like to know what that looked like. Heavens were opened. We picture clouds parting, the sun shining through, but it's more than that. It's more than that. The heavens were opened in some way, connecting to heaven from this earth. The heavens were opened, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. Now, maybe it's not, we're not actually sure who all saw this. Did John see it too? Well, there's some indication that John did see all of this. Maybe not. Did the others that were around, there were certainly others around there, did they all see it? Maybe, maybe not. We're not sure. But Jesus, we know, saw it, and Jesus knew what it meant as the Spirit descended on him. And then we have a voice from heaven. And so here we have the Trinity revealed to us, the voice from heaven, the Father in heaven, Jesus the Son, and the dove, in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, the triune God working in unison. And we see them in different descriptions, and yet they, the persons of the Trinity, he, God, are always working in unison. And the voice spoke to Jesus. Mark and Luke tell us that the voice spoke to Jesus, said, you are my son. Matthew reports it as if speaking to others. I think, probably, we don't have direct quotations in Greek as we do today. They didn't think about it the same way. So it's valid for them to change the wording a little bit to get the point across in context. We would have some problems with that if you changed the quote, right? But they didn't. And the purpose is this, probably. As Matthew writes it as him speaking to others, the voice speaking to others, so this is, speaking about Jesus as opposed to speaking directly to him, because he's drawing us into it. He's telling us about what God the Father said to the Son so that we can hear it and hear it for ourselves and find out as God is revealing himself to us. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. First, we have the Father describing the relationship of the Son to himself. This is my Son, the relationship to the Father. Not like others. We are all, those trusting in him are his children. But there's a unique Son relationship here in Jesus. This is my Son. Or speaking to Jesus, you are my Son, whom I love. Or maybe, as an adjective, better, which is the way it's written in Greek, is just as an adjective, beloved. Beloved. Almost, if we say whom I love, that describes what is happening there. But beloved almost functions as a title. As a title announcing the beloved one. Along with another title, the Messiah. Another title, the Savior. A title describing who Jesus is. The beloved. The one who has the mission of the Father, the mission of God in the world. It's more than just a feeling of a father towards a son. It's like a title. Jesus is carrying on the activity of the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Or maybe, also better, was well pleased. Not that he stopped being well pleased with Jesus, but that it's indicating something more about him. That is, God was, the Father was well pleased even before Jesus came to earth. He was well pleased with him, pleased with him, and the role that he would fill as he fills that role for us. Last week, we contemplated, at least a little bit, the ideas of being chosen. of being predestined. This week we find the beginning of Jesus' mission to the world, the mission to save the world. And we find in these words that God was pleased with him. We find again the idea of all of this beginning long before any of it happened. And God was well pleased with his son to send him into the world. He would do what was needed to be accomplished. This is the mission of the triune God, identifying with sinful people in a rescue plan of saving and redeeming. That's how we find God revealed in this account of Jesus' baptism and the brief little episode that follows. As God reveals himself to us, as the omnipotent, omniscient God reveals himself to us in many different ways, and especially in this way, in this text today, we thank him for how he interacts with us in love and compassion and mercy and grace, and not as we deserve, not in wrath and punishment, but in love, identifying with us. And we can praise him then rather than fear him, as the triune God condescends to identify with us and reveal himself to us. So even though by every right we should be afraid every day of God, and yet we can praise him and thank him for his love to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we see Jesus beginning his ministry, as we see him being baptized to identify himself with us who don't deserve it, and we see the words that you spoke to him as he began his ministry to save us. We thank you for all of that. We thank you that though we don't deserve it, that all we do deserve is wrath and destruction, and yet you don't interact with us in that way. You don't reveal yourself in us, to us in that way, but as one who would save us from the destruction that we deserve. And so we ask that you would help us to trust in you as you reveal yourself to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.